Hello, and welcome to the Sapona Road Church podcast. Today is a great day. It's the day that the Lord has made, and we are excited that you've taken time to join with us as we hear from God's Word. We exist as a church to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We hope that today's message encourages and blesses you and helps you to grow and mature in your walk and relationship with Him. The word of the Lord is powerful and life-changing, so let's see our lives transformed as we listen to today's message.
I want to read a scripture from Zephaniah chapter 3 today to you, and I'm going to give you a couple of illustrations that I've used before. I love these two illustrations, so I've used them a few times before. So some of you, it will look familiar, but that's okay. I feel like this would be a really good message on a baptism Sunday. I want to talk about being born again and talk about the new birth and all those different things of what it means to be alive in Christ. And so in Zephaniah chapter 3, there's an interesting verse here. In verse 17, it says this, "The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." So, Father, we just ask your blessing upon this message today, God. Let something I say just touch your people's heart, God, that people will be blessed and changed forever. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I want to talk to you on the thought of the exciting new you. And we've got six people so far that have chosen to be baptized today. And this is a very powerful thing. It's very important. And a lot of people don't realize who the exciting new you is, even when they're born again. And so I'm hoping that I can shed a little bit of light on this and get you to see things maybe a little bit differently in what it means to be walking with the Lord and allowing to be led by the Spirit and allowing to live a life for Christ. But the first thing I want to do to get you to see this is tell you a story about a bird. This bird was born in captivity. So it's never known anything but being caged up. It's lived its whole life in a cage. It's not a very old bird, but that's all it knows. It's all it's ever seen. And so it knows nothing outside of the cage. And so as the bird was growing, he began to notice that he had these weird things on his kind of on his side and in his back area. He didn't know what they were for because they served no purpose in a cage. But as he grew and got stronger, he started noticing that he could pick them up and down. He could stretch them out. He could do all these different things. And so he started getting where he could flap them. And so as he flaps them really fast one time, he slams himself into the side of the cage. He doesn't understand it, doesn't understand why he would do something like that, but he starts to keep working at it. And so now he's flying around in the cage because he can flap them faster and faster. He doesn't understand. For some reason, he just keeps doing it. He continues to do it over and over again because he keeps hearing this little voice inside of his head that says, you were made for more than a cage. You weren't made to be caged up like this. But it didn't make sense to him because it's all he knew. It's all he had ever experienced. But one day, something changed. One day, someone accidentally left the cage door open. He's kind of nosing around, going around in the cage, and he realizes, he pokes his head out that, hey, I don't have to stay in here anymore. And so he takes the plunge and jumps out of the cage and starts flapping his wings, and away he goes. He's flying off, and he begins to say to himself, he says, hey, this is it. I was made for something greater. I was made for something bigger than a cage. I wasn't meant to be caged up. And see, what I want to tell you today is the exciting new you, the born again you, because you were made for something bigger than a cage. You weren't made to be caged up, but the devil's been trying to keep the body of Christ in a cage for generations. And he's been successful at it. See, we've been fed the bird seed of religion when we were made to soar like the eagles and feed on the revelation of God's word. But many times we don't. If we're being honest, we know what most of us have fed on most of our Christian lives, if you are a believer in here. It's really easy to point at other people's, you know, religious shortcomings and not your own, but we all have them. Where we were doing something out of tradition or religion instead of being fed straight from the Holy Spirit. But see, millions of Christians are stuck in cages, even today. Some of you are stuck in cages in here today, even though you might not want to admit it. They've been fed the lie that the days of miracles has passed away. It no longer happens. That was just for them. That was from some other place, some other time. They've been fed the lie that God no longer speaks to His people. They've been fed the lie that that there's no longer supernatural direction to help us make decisions, and there's no longer supernatural protection, and that things are just going to always get worse. But I want to declare to you today, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that the cages are not only being opened, but the cages are being destroyed. And as sons and daughters of God, as the body of Christ, as the bride of Christ, that we're beginning to fly together in unity. We're starting to see it more than ever before with churches coming together. We're learning the great truths of the Word of God again, finally, instead of just following tradition. And we're experiencing the victorious life of Jesus Christ and the life that we have in His great name that they've been singing about all morning. So Zephaniah 3:17, I'm going to read it to you again. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. It's a powerful verse. And here in this verse where it says, He will rejoice over you with gladness. The word gladness here, it literally means glee. It means exceeding joy and joyfulness. It means rejoicing. And some people even go as far as to say it would include or it could mean dancing. Now, I'm not much of a dancer, but it's an interesting thing to point out because it's if you look at it from that standpoint, it's saying that when God looks on the plans or the destiny that He has for each and every one of us in here, He gets so excited about your tomorrow that He begins to dance. He's that excited about what He has in store for you. The God who created the universe, the God who created heaven and earth, is so excited about the things that are ahead of us that He's celebrating in our honor. And He's excited about the new you, and He's excited about the new me. He's excited about our future, and it's time for us to, sooner or later, the church has to join the party. We have to get excited too. We have to realize who we are in Christ and start thinking about all the positive things that we have coming our way. Start focusing on the positive and leave the negative behind. And if all we ever do is sit around recounting all the bad things of our past and then anticipating that the future is going to be even worse, what kind of life is that? That's not going to produce the results that you're looking for. You're not going to be able to enjoy the blessings that God has given you. And maybe you've been around someone like that. Have you been around someone and they were so blessed, but they didn't even know it? All they could do was complain or think about something that happened 30 years ago and not even see the blessing right in front of them. Or all they can do is worry about what might happen 10 years from now and not enjoy the blessing that God's given them right in front of them. It can be frustrating when you're around that person, but there's a lot of people that are that way. Even when things aren't going well for us, we can still celebrate because the Word says that He'll turn our mourning into dancing. It says He'll work all things out for our good. And see, through Jesus Christ, you are an exciting new you. And the possibilities are always limitless. No matter what your circumstances are, no matter what your situation is, or what your past is, it does not matter what your past is. If you'll turn it over to God. In Romans chapter 4, I gave them verses 13 and 16 on this. But in verse 13, it says, clearly God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was based not on his obedience to God's law, but on a right relationship with God that comes by faith. Verse 16 says, so the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift, and we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, if we have faith like Abraham's. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. This all goes back to what we believe. What are you believing today? Where is your thought life? See, Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Now, I know that this world's getting crazier every day. We're seeing all kind of nut jobs, for lack of a better word. It's just crazy stuff going on. And when that happens, then also there's all these threats of wars and all this other stuff going on, and who knows where the money's really going when any of these situations. And you have people, all they can talk about is gloom and doom, but they've been doing that for generations. They've been doing that for thousands of years. And then there are many churches, they fit that same mold. Everything's bad news. But see, Jesus said, would he find faith? Would he find faith? It doesn't take a whole lot of faith to say that things are only going to get worse. It doesn't take a lot of faith to believe for bad. It takes faith to speak to dead, dry bones. It takes faith to speak to dry circumstances and situations that seem dead or seem lost. It takes faith to go after everything that the Word tells us. It takes faith to go after every promise that God gives us. See, when he comes, will he find faith? And so now the question is, what will he find in your life, in your home? Will he find faith? Will he find faith in this church if he were here today? Or are we just like everybody else who just talks about how bad everything's going to get? See, you're a new creature. And you can be what he says you can be, and you can do what he says you can do. But you have to believe. See, it doesn't matter what things look like. It doesn't matter what other people say. All that matters is what God says. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, this is a very familiar scripture, and some of you probably could have finished quoting it for me when I started reading it. I still wrote it down because most of the time when I try to quote one, that's the one I'll get wrong. But it's a powerful verse. We've all probably heard something about being a new creation. And we are new creations, but what does that mean? Because if I'm being honest, sometimes I don't feel like a new creation. Maybe you always do. Maybe you always feel like a new creation, but I don't. Even sometimes, you can ask Heather, I don't always act like a new creation. Sometimes she has to remind me who I am. And yeah, it's good when she does do that. It's important. But sometimes I don't always act that way. Sometimes I don't always talk like a new creation. Sometimes I'm just spewing negativity. And Heather has to pull out the right hand and threaten to smack me or something to stop it. No, she would never do that. She would never do that. Well, I don't know. Maybe. Well, let's still say never. I have pushed her buttons a few times in my life, so I won't say never. But what was I talking about? Oh yeah, sometimes you just don't feel born again. And it's like this, when you got saved, I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I didn't get any taller. I was this height and I stayed this height. And if you're tall, you don't get short. All those different things. It doesn't happen. If you're short when you get saved, you're short. If you're tall before you get saved, you're tall. So why is this? See, we're spirit beings. Our spirit is where the change takes place. We possess a physical body, and we have a soul composed of our mind, will, and emotions, our reasoning faculties. And so the part of us that's recreated, the brand new you, the exciting new you, is our spirit. You didn't get a new body when you were born again. You may have received a healing. You may have received some other type of blessing when you were born again, but you didn't get a brand new body. We will one day, but not yet. But the real you became a new person in Christ. Ezekiel 11, verse 19, it says this, and it's a prophecy about it. It says, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. The New Living Translation says it this way. And I will give them singleness of heart, and I will put a new spirit within them. I will take away their stony, stubborn heart and give them a tender, responsive heart. He's speaking about the new creation here. Our spirit is the new creation. The exciting new you is your spirit. Our bodies and our souls are not what were recreated. It's not what happened. Now, I know that this might sound a little confusing because in the church and even personally, we've used the word spirit and soul interchangeably so many times that it might be hard to tell the difference. But your spirit and your soul are two different things. They're closely connected, but they're not the same thing. Hebrews 4, verse 12 lets us know this. It says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So it says that it is to the division of soul and spirit. If they were the same thing, they couldn't be divided. Okay? A man's spirit, the real man, receives eternal life and is born again. But his intellect and his emotions, which compose the soul, they still have to be dealt with. See, your spirit is born again, or your spirit is recreated, but your soul has to be renewed. We have to renew our minds. And Paul says in Romans 12, 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And so think about this in James chapter 1. Now he's talking to the church. So they're saved. They're born again believers. And this is what he tells them in verse 21. He says, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness, overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." They've already been born again. See, when we're born again, we're born of the Spirit. The old things are gone. And now all things become new. Because see, before you were born again, inside of there was spiritual death. Inside of you was the nature of the devil. I'm not saying you had to be a horrible person before you were born again. You might have been a good person as far as the way this world would look at you. But it doesn't change the fact that the nature of the devil was in there. There was hatred, there was lying, there was lust, there was all these different things. But now those things are gone because now the love of God is in there. You had the love of God inside of you, and the nature of God is now there. And now the exciting new you is supposed to be the dominant one that's in control, the one that we're to listen to. We're to be led by the Spirit. Now, the problem is, as I've told you before, our bodies and our souls, they don't want to give up control. They're stubborn. But we have to change that by being led by the Spirit. See, God has saved us, and our spirit has become has been born again. It's brand new. But now we have to deal with our bodies and our minds. We have to get things back in their proper order. In Romans 12, I read verse 2, but I'm going to read 1 and 2 this time. It says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So in this scripture, he's addressing them, he says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren." He's talking to believers. He's talking to brothers and sisters in Christ. And then he's telling them, he addresses the body issue and the soul issue. He says, you need to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. There is a life to live when it comes to being a born-again Christian. If you want to live a victorious life, there is. And so you're to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And then he talks about the soul because he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed that by you have to renew your mind. You have to get things in their proper order. And it's always been this way. You see, now Adam, the first man, he was led by the Spirit. He was a Spirit-driven man until the fall. Until he sinned and ate from the fruit, he was led by his Spirit. And so ever since that fall, our senses have been in the place of dominance. As soon as Adam ate of the fruit, his senses took the place of dominance, and he was spiritually dead. And it's been that way for all of us. So in our senses, they've been in a place of dominance for a real long time. And they like it that way. They don't want to change. And so what happens is one of the reasons that we're so controlled by fear in the church is because we're led by our senses instead of led by our spirits. Your spirit man is not afraid of anything. But how many of us are most of what we do is dictated by fear? It is with me. I'll be honest. There's a lot of things that I would do differently if I wasn't afraid. when it comes to the fear of man. Your spirit doesn't suffer from the fear of man. That's you being led by your senses. That's being controlled by your flesh, whether it be your actual physical body or your mind, your will, and emotions. See, through Jesus Christ and the Word of God and through the help of the Holy Spirit, we need to become spirit-driven believers again. And we can do it. We need to put our spirit man in the dominating position of our lives. And immediately some people are going to say, well, I just can't do that. It's not in my nature. Well, you're listening to the wrong nature. Because it is in the nature of your spirit. The real you, the exciting new you. As I get it, I'm a pretty laid back, not very loud person about a lot of things. Other than Heather says I talk too loud at home. But other than that, I'm not very loud about stuff. But it doesn't matter. If I'm not going all in with God, it's not my spirit holding me back. I'm letting my flesh, I'm letting my body or my mind, will, and emotions, my soul dictate the way I'm going to do life. That's not the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be spirit-driven, and it's in every single one of your natures if you are born again. If you're born again, you have the nature that you need. And so I've got one more illustration for you. And so go ahead and put that up, Danny. So some of you may remember this. And I love my puppy lion illustration. And this is for all of you in here that you've been wondering, what is the secret, what is the key to living a victorious life for the Lord? And you thought you were going to get something profound today when you're getting this picture. But if I were to go around and ask every person in here, if we were to take this lion and this puppy and we were to put them in a cage, arena, whatever you want to call it, and we're going to let them fight it out. If I were to ask you, who do you think is going to win? Every person in here, after you told me how crazy of a question that was, you would say, of course, the lion's going to win. Not only is the lion going to win, the lion is probably going to, after he defeats that puppy, he's going to eat that puppy in one gulp. Everybody would say that. And in a sense, you would be right. But what if I were to tell you that we could change the outcome of this fight? Very easily. All we would need to do is stop feeding the lion and start feeding the puppy. And be patient. See, if we would do that by not feeding the lion after time, he would become so weak, he really wouldn't put up much of a fight. He wouldn't be able to even stand. He wouldn't be able to growl or open his mouth. He wouldn't be able to even lift his paw. He would not be able to do anything but just lay there. And puppy ultimately would defeat the lion. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. It's hard to fight when you don't eat. And see, here's the thing. When we become a Christian, our inner nature, the brand new you, the exciting new you, even though it has all of the ability of the Holy Spirit and all those different things, but in a sense, it's like this little puppy. Because your flesh has been in control for years, growing and getting bigger and bigger and getting louder and louder like a roaring lion. And now you have this brand new you. The puppy's the real you, but it must be fed. It must be fed. Now our flesh and our bodies, if you want to live the victorious life, then they're going to have to be dealt with, which means that you got to starve them. You've got to quit feeding the flesh so that your spirit is in control. And what I began to notice in my journey with the Lord is that most people, I'm talking about Christians, I'm not talking about people that haven't received Christ, but most Christians, even good people that are Christians, that live a life without victory are the ones that keep feeding the lion and keep neglecting the puppy. They spend very little time with the Lord. They spend very little time studying the Word. They would be unconcerned about what type of church they attend, whether it's a good Bible teaching church or not. Today, they just don't attend at all. They don't even think it's important to go to church, more or less go to one that is actually teaching truth. And so they just can't continually keep doing things that are feeding the lion, and then they're the very ones that talk about, they just don't understand why they're not experiencing victory. They just don't understand why they can't develop a good relationship with the Lord. They just don't understand why they're not growing in their walk. They don't understand why things have to be so difficult. They don't understand why they don't understand. And the whole time they keep feeding the lion and they don't feed the puppy. See, what we feed our spirit is important. What's the last meal your spirit's had? When's the last time you were intentional and deliberate to take care of the real you, the exciting you, the one that's going to live forever? When's the last time you on purpose fed your spirit, man? Your spirit is the real you. And what we feed is important, and it's the exciting new you. And when you realize this, the possibilities are limitless. And so I know, like I said, you were probably looking for some profound truth, but I think I may have just given you one, even though it's really simple. Those of you, if you're new in your walk with the Lord, or even if you've been saved 30, 40, 50 years, stop feeding the lion and start feeding the puppy and watch what happens. Everything will change. Now, it might take some time, but stay with it and trust God, because the exciting new you, He's got amazing plans, and He's celebrating and rejoicing today, just like He's going to be celebrating those that we're getting ready to baptize. So if you'll just bow your heads with me. Father, we just thank You that You're celebrating us today, God. The plans that You have for us, Your kingdom plans and purposes for every person in here. God, I pray that we would just begin to feed our spirit, man, that we would feed the puppy, God. But I thank You that you never let us down, and that You're running to us just like they were singing about, God. And I pray that every person in here will make that decision to turn to You. God, that they would grow in their relationship with You, God, and they would just see how easy it can be if we just turn to You and trust You at Your word. God, I just pray that every person here would go after You like never before. And God, that we would see unbelievable increase, Lord, in prayers being answered, in faith and commitment and giving and in every possible way, God, Lord, in spending time with You and knowledge of the word, Lord, and wisdom and understanding of spiritual matters. God, that it would begin to grow in every person in this place. God, there's no one like You, and it's so amazing that You chose us. And so, God, we give You honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
We are so happy that you joined us today. If you are interested in learning about or giving to this ministry, you can find more information at SaponaRoadChurch.com. If you are local to the Fayetteville, North Carolina area, our meeting times are 10:45 a.m. Sunday mornings and 7 o'clock p.m. Wednesdays for our Connect groups. From all of us here at Sapona Road Church, we hope that you have a great day as you walk in the Lord's favor and blessing.